Welcome to Shift to Tomorrow. Now is the moment leaders throughout distribution must lift our eyes, look towards the horizon, and shift our lens from merely making it through this unprecedented uncertainty to coming out stronger on the other side. This is your moment. Are you ready? You can create your future. You own your tomorrow. And your journey of shifting to tomorrow begins now with your host, Dirk Beveridge.
Welcome back to Shift to Tomorrow. I'm Dirk Beveridge, your host, and welcome to this fifth episode, Moving from Crisis to Opportunity in 30 Days. You know, one of the great things I have to do on this show is, as I say, I have the opportunity to talk and learn from wicked smart individuals. And today, you're going to have the opportunity to learn from two of these wicked smart individuals. Today, we're going to have a conversation with Michael Werner, who's the founder and CEO of Homex, and his business partner, Vincent Payen, who's a co-founder of the company and the president of Homex. You know, the COVID pandemic has caused enough crisis and uncertainty for long-established businesses. But how about for a startup looking to radically improve home services for consumers, contractors, distributors, and manufacturers in the plumbing, heating, electrical, and HVAC space? This is what I wanted to hear and learn from with our guests, Michael and Vincent. You're going to hear how these two leaders ensured that their business pivoted quickly as COVID unleashed itself on the world and on their plans. You'll learn about how a transformative business idea arose out of crisis. You're going to learn about the three T's, trust, time, and transparency, as being the makings of a disruptive business model, and a lot more. Let's dive in, get your pen and paper ready, and enjoy.
I am Dirk Beveridge, founder of Unleash WD. We're a design, innovation, and strategy firm who is committed to transforming legacy distributors into nimble and innovative market leaders. And we're just absolutely thrilled to bring this six-week program that we've called Shift to Tomorrow to you each Sunday and each Wednesday. This follows on March 13th. That's when I, 10 a.m., that's when I had the epiphany that the world is going to change. I'm a little slow. March 13th, it happened. And in 36 hours, we turned around our first Sunday conversation like this. And we called those leading during the coronavirus pandemic. And so from March 13th up until Easter, we had four or five of these types of conversations. And then what happened is over the Easter holiday, we call it our Easter pivot. And we said, you know what? What we need to do is we need to ensure that we're not only managing through the crisis right now, but that we're picking up our eyes and we're looking towards the horizon and that we're shifting to tomorrow. We know that we're going to come out of this. We know that there is another side of this crisis. Don't know when, but this is really the opportunity for all of us as leaders to ensure that our companies are better and stronger positioned on the other side. Easier said than done, without question. But that's what these weeks are all about. So here is this week's premise, today and on Wednesday. In my open letter to distributors, I had 13 premises of how we could be shifting to tomorrow. And we're going to focus today and on Wednesday on this premise. And my premise is this, is that leaders can and should use the COVID-19 pandemic as a launchpad to strategically analyze their business model and in many cases, accelerate business model innovation. And in order to do that, let me skip ahead to Wednesday. I really hope that you have on your calendar this coming Wednesday from 3 to 4 o'clock, when I'm going to be having a deep dive class with Saul Kaplan, who is the founder and chief catalyst of the Business Innovation Factory. I'll tell you a little bit more about what we're going to talk about on Wednesday at the end here today around 4:30. But that leads us to today. Today, we've got just an amazing opportunity to have four conversations with the five individuals that you see on here, all focused on this topic of business model innovation. So let me introduce you to our first two guests, and Michael and Vincent, you guys can sign on when you're ready, turn on your videos so that we can get ready. But our first two are Michael Werner and Vincent Payen, who are co-founders of HomeX. HomeX is a startup organization that is radically setting out to improve home services for consumers and providers. And they are in the process and have built a platform to bring together, this is what I think is just absolutely crazy, to bring together contractors, distributors, manufacturers, and consumers. And they were kind enough to share their story about 6 months ago during our Unleash Innovation Summit. And we're here to learn about what they've titled, Moving from Crisis to Opportunity in 30 Days. So Michael, Vincent, welcome. Welcome both of you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate it. And Vincent, I can we can hear you, but we can't see you. Just so, there you go.
Awesome. How
about now? Yeah, there you go. I got it. So, Michael, can you start by telling us about HomeX? I know in less than 3 years, man, you've had this idea. I remember sitting down with you at the Marriott some time ago when it wasn't even an idea yet. And here you are 3 years later, and you're building a hell of an organization.
Yep. Thanks, Dirk. And, you know, Dirk, and I wish we were outside on our bikes together. I'd sure rather be riding with you than cooped up indoors talking on video.
Without question.
And thanks for having us. The idea of HomeX actually goes back to what we thought was the Great Depression of our times, which now is a minor recession compared to what we're facing with today. And it actually came about during the 2008 to 2013 housing crisis, when I had been asked to give a keynote address at the Kitchen and Bath Show. I was on the board of it, and I was asked to give an address at the show. And at the time when I was asked to give it, I didn't realize how bad the industry was from the standpoint of being completely fragmented. So when I was asked to give the address, I said, I might as well spend some time and really understand what's going on. As I did my research, we all knew that the industry was just decimated. We went from 2 million housing starts to 400,000. Millions of people had lost their jobs. And as I looked at it, I said, what can we do to change it coming out of it? I came up with a simple idea, which was that if we could leverage the power of technology and leverage networks, we could fundamentally change this industry and make it better for everybody. So fast forward a couple of years, in 2016, I had left Globe Union, and literally at my first business strategy planning brainstorming session, I asked Dirk, because when I think about innovation, I think about thinkers, I can think of nobody better than Dirk to be there with me. And typical Dirk, he pressed me on my vision, on the culture, on the value prop and the business model. He kept saying, how are you going to do it? What's going to be different? What are the big shifts that you see that drive this vision? And at that time, there were three big things that really propelled us. One was a fundamental shift in the economy. You know, if you think back, going back to our great grandparents, they were agrarian. And then my grandparents were extractors. They made ladders. And then when I came out of school, I was in the service world. I worked in investment banking. But today, it's becoming all about experiences. Companies like Starbucks, Disney, Airbnb, Apple, Starwood Hotels, they're all part of what we call the experience economy. And hence, that's really our name. HomeX stands for home experience. People want to take the friction out of their lives. They want to enjoy living more. And they want to enjoy what they have. And as you think about our post-COVID world that we will encounter in the next couple of months to years, it's going to be even more important. The second big shift was that there's a huge gap between demand and supply. And that's driven by demographics and driven by people's interest. You know, if you think about it, my parents and many of our parents physically can't take care of their homes anymore. My generation, I'd rather be on my bike or my skis. We don't want to. And our kids, they're brilliant technologists, but they don't know the difference between a flat blade and a Phillips screwdriver. And as everyone knows, particularly those like yours as well, and as everybody knows, particularly, you know, those of us in the trades, the average age of a plumber and HVAC tech is in their 50s. Yeah. It's really hard to get people to go into this industry. And that gap is bad for everybody. For consumers, it means that the experience is poor. We call it the three T's. There's a lack of trust. There's a lack of control of time, and there's very little transparency. And for the providers, it's equally as bad. Yeah. They're great with the tool case, but they really don't want to deal with the briefcase. Many times their hair's on fire because they can't run their businesses. So they lack the tools to professionally manage their trade. And the third big shift is that technology has become an enabler. Whether it's mobile computing, the cloud, video services like we're on today, technology is now ubiquitous. Everybody can leverage it. Yeah. So the vision we built was to radically improve home services and literally to try to help everyone throughout the value chain, the contractor, the consumer, of course, but also the distributor, the manufacturer, the manufacturer's rep, and everybody. And as we were starting to really lay out the strategy, we had a fundamental obstacle. The home services industry today was really not different than it was in 2010 or 2000, sure, in that it was completely fragmented. It was fractured. Everybody would throw stuff over the wall. There was no synchronized supply chain. There was no synchronized way of running the business. So we really took a page out of Daniel Burnham, and I think it's set for today. And Vincent, in a couple minutes, we'll talk about the shift we've gone through most recently. But Daniel Burnham, great Chicago builder after the fire, said, make no small plans. And we decided that to really do what we wanted to do, we had to create an end-to-end solution for consumers and also for the service providers. And along the way, it would provide an opportunity for manufacturers and distributors to get closer to their customers, whether they're their consumer or the contractor. Yeah. So in short, we're building a business that's going to help everybody in the supply chain. And our business model is both complex and elegant. It includes boots on the ground, providing HVAC, plumbing, and electrical services, both through companies in which we've made investments, as well as third-party providers. We're building out a B2B SaaS software company that will have both software and services for contractors, OEMs, and distributors. And we're also creating the first of its kind distribution and on-demand technology, really a fully powered suite of services for consumers that will enable them to frictionlessly take care of their homes. So we're trying to bring together the best of old school, when you think about boots on the ground, and sure, the best of Silicon Valley brilliant people to tie these two things together and serve people in a manner that's never been done before.
Boy, I love it, Michael. Thank you. As you know, so, you know, one of the things that goes through my mind as I'm listening to you, you know, these three big, I think you call them trends, the experience economy, the demand, the difference between demand and supply, and then technology as an enabler. You know, the words that go through my mind as I listen to you there is strategic foresight. Having the strategic foresight to be able to connect the dots to say, here's where there's an opportunity. Right. Again, one of my premises during this shift to tomorrow is we as leaders have got to put more emphasis on and even develop deeper capabilities at this strategic foresight so that we can move towards the opportunities that are going to happen. We can learn from you on that regard as well going forward. And in fact, one of our weeks coming up here, I don't know if it's next week or the week after that, it's going to be on strategic foresight. In fact, I think it's in 2 weeks from now. So that's super cool. Thank you. So Vincent, man, so Michael was kind enough to just tell us, you know, where the idea came from and what you're actually building. And then all of a sudden, holy cow, the world changes. And we've got this crisis and you've got this concept of hashtag C20, right? From crisis to opportunity. Can you tell us your guys' mindset in this crisis right now and what you guys are doing?
Sure. Michael invented it, so I cannot take credit for a hashtag CTO. He's a, you know, like a true visionary also for hashtags.
But for hashtags too.
So listen, like the so to me, like you know, it came back to three things that we did. Like one, set the strategic direction and philosophy to define the risk and opportunities, and you know, like, that's what we actually all train to do every day. Like, we wake up and we ask ourselves, like, why would my business lose? Why would my business win? It was just an accelerated process, but it was important for us to do it without panic and making sure we stay true to who we are as a company, to the landscape, and where we really believe we have the right to win. Many companies or many people have the instinct to just go do something crazy or go do something they don't really know how to do, which is usually the trap. I was at eBay when eBay had its security breach. And like, to me, that was a great example of a company that overreacted, they said, oh, we're going to lock everyone out of their accounts, which, you know, like, actually created more harm than good on the business. And you see many companies after having a much more measured approach to really tough situations. So to me, like, you know, as we faced the situation, I had that in mind very much. And like, number one theme was, like, let's find the right balance. Let's like make sure we don't forget who we are. Let's make sure we understand the landscape and make sure we keep focusing on where we have the right to win. And from there, outline our priorities, which were really simple. Secure business and operations. So, you know, like we have like hundreds, you know, like thousands of people in the field. How do we keep them safe? How do we keep our employees safe? And how do we make sure we can keep doing business, which was, you know, like forget opportunities. Like first, it's like, how do we secure, survive, and make sure we have a handle on things?
Without question.
Then, you know, like the next part was like, all right, like, do we have acceleration opportunities? And like, you know, like both on our consumer business and on our B2B business. We're very lucky that our business are anchored on things that are very relevant to what's happening today in terms of remote services, technology, our B2B platform providing customer support, online booking for service companies. But again, it was important for us to stay focused, understand what people needed, understand what we knew how to do well, and where we had real opportunity to accelerate. And finally, not forget the I think the wrapper around it, which is how we're going to communicate about it internally, externally, how we're going to explain it to, you know, like investors, customers, employees, and make sure like all of that tied. And like, you know, like this first step was really like we had defined the problems and defined what we wanted to do. Then like we had to create an operational plan. You know, like to do that, it was really important to us to do it bottom up with our employees. Like it's very easy to have the reflex to say, all right, like, you know, like give me the steering wheel, like, you know, like away. I'm the leader, I'm going to do it. Because like we were, you know, like making shifts in priorities, because we were going to move resources from things we used to do to things we're going to stop doing, because like we had to, you know, stop, accelerate. It was really important for me that it happened organically from the team. So we gave the problems to the team and told them, you know, we want to secure the operations, we want to accelerate remote services, we want to accelerate like the B2B remote services. And then like let them in a few days come back and say, all right, like that's what we believe we should be doing. And that did really two things. One, it was their plan. It was not pushed down. You know, like they were not like on the receiving end of it. People who had their projects cut or which were shifted didn't see it as like, oh, well, you know what? Like you don't care about what I'm doing. It's important. They were the first one to say, oh, no, like, great. That's what we should be doing. Like, that's our plan. And I think, you know, like it also meant like, you know, like the short-term courage to make these bets, to stop these things, but do it, you know, as a company and like do it very, very openly, which meant that, you know, like now, like the entire organization is fully aligned to achieve objectives versus something new or some shift coming tops down.
Yeah.
And the third one was then like how we're going to operate. I very much believe in excellence without heroics. You know, like
Excellence with what, Vincent?
Heroics.
Courage.
Courage. Another word. But like you know, like be excellent, but don't be a hero every day. And you know, like in these tough times, you know, you can like you know people can be a hero like for one day, for 2 days, for a week. If it's been the last month, you don't want to create you know, like a ways of working and a feeling or a company that like everything's on fire and that like you know like we have to do everything every single day. So you know, like we had to you know pivot, we had to accelerate, we had to be focused, but also we had to do it in a way that was sustainable long term for people. So creating an environment so like people could be excellent, could accelerate without having to be you know like heroes every day or like go beyond like what they could do was very important. Enabling quick iteration. You know, we moved from like pushing code every week to pushing code daily, for example, which was like, you know, like a you know, like it's a small thing, but it's a great muscle for the team to build.
So why was that decision made? You know, I was talking to Michael before we came on and I guess you got probably 120, 150 people on your science team, your development team and the like. Why did you move from pushing code weekly to daily? And it's really interesting that you say that because I did just before we came on, I'm reading an article from McKinsey and the cadence of how things are moving to shorter cycles is super important that we think about. So, Michael?
Yeah, remember Top Gun?
Yeah.
So in Top Gun, when the captain said, you know, someone said to him, it's going to take 10 minutes to fix the catapult. Yeah. And he said, bullshit, this thing will be over in two. Right. So the fundamental thing we're doing is we provide essential services. Our boots on the ground are fixing HVAC systems, plumbing, electricity for consumers, for senior citizen homes, for people who need it now.
Yeah.
COVID notwithstanding. So we fundamentally had to launch remote services, which is remote diagnosis, remote assistance, and remote sales capabilities, and be able to deliver contactless services right away. We didn't have 10 minutes to fix the catapult. We had to do it now.
Interesting.
And my favorite story, if I can tell you one story. So we actually, by text, had a gentleman who had been suffering from pneumonia. His HVAC system was out. He had to have it replaced. And we literally, over text and then over video, did the whole diagnosis, realized it had to be replaced, and arranged for contactless installation of a new system without him ever being compromised at all. Wow. And then when we built that system out, we actually now, through our B2B partner, have pushed it out where it's being offered to thousands, and soon next week, actually, to many, many thousands of contractors. So they too can now leverage the system to deliver contactless services to their customers, to be able to chat with their customers, sell product, and engage. So when Vincent said he pushed it, that's what he did.
Yeah, isn't that something? And did you have to, was that remote? Hey, Randy. All right, you can turn your video off if you don't mind for right now. Sorry, I'll call you back in a bit. So, guys, was that remote access on your roadmap? But then it just needed to be accelerated.
Yeah. So I think, like, you know, like again, like going back to, like, you know, focusing on, like, you know, like things we know how to do and we know how where to win. Remote. Like, we have been doing remote and piloting remote services for the past 6 months. I think we're, like, one of the first companies really doing it, like, at scale, explaining it to customers. But we were, like, you know, like, building it, I would say, like, amongst other things. Putting lots of foundation in place, like, it forced us to, you know, so we think, okay, like, how can we do quicker? Can we scale quicker? Like, you know, going back to answering your question, like, why do we want to ship code daily versus weekly? Like, you know, when you ship code weekly, like, you have, like, a week cycle of, like, is something broken? Is it working? Like, do you want to do something else? Like, this weekly cycle to me was a way to unleash the team a little bit, say, if it breaks, it breaks. Like, you know, like, you know, like, don't worry. I'd rather it break today, fix it tomorrow, than, like, wait a week to know that it broke, and then, like, you know, like, you know, fix it a week later. So,
yeah,
all of that was part of what we're doing. We just decided to, greatly accelerate the scaling of the system.
Neat. I really appreciate it. And guys, something else is going through my mind. Next week we're going to be focusing on culture, and one of our guests is going to be the chief people officer for a great consulting company. Some of our guests have met him already, by the name of Paravita. And the chief people officer has written a positioning statement on the importance of safety in terms of the value propositions for all companies going forward, right? The safety of the employees, the safety of the consumer. And I see this remote access, how you guys have pivoted so quick. I mean, there's another strategic foresight that you guys are playing into that the world is going to be demanding going forward, it sounds like.
Yep. Last week, we delivered about 50% of, we solved about 50% of the calls that were appropriate remotely. Yeah. And then when we send out technicians, they already know what's wrong. They have the right equipment. So our contactless service, in terms of being able to go into a house and do it without having to talk a lot to the customer, has gone up, as well as the one call resolution. It's gone up double digits. So we're able, when you think about safety for our technicians, you think about safety for the consumer, we fundamentally have changed the game. And it all goes back, and I completely agree with the comment about safety overall, because everything we've looked at, the first thing we had to deal with was taking care of our people. Number one was, how do we protect our technicians providing emergency services? How do we provide the ability for our people to work from home? And then importantly, we actually have had hundreds of people who've been furloughed because of the state requirements. Yep. So how did we take care of their dignity? And we actually are training many of them now be actually as licensed technicians to be on the phone, be on video, be on the computer, and work as remote assistance technicians. So we're fundamentally changing their jobs, and we're doing it that fast, like getting the catapult fixed in 2 minutes.
This is so cool. And everybody, drill down, either Michael or Vince, drill down on the word dignity for me right there. You had to protect their dignity. Tell me your thinking on that, please.
So, you know, as you think about what happened in the 2008 to 2012 period, millions of people lost their jobs, people lost their businesses. It's worse now because it's compressed into weeks, not years.
Yep.
And as you think about what drives a human being, human dignity, our core values to be a positive force, and we bring it to life two ways, by improving home life and improving work life.
Cool.
We've worked so hard to get these technicians. We say in our company, we don't want to be the best place to work. We want to be the only place where people want to work. Wow. So we've worked so hard to attract the best talent and to take great care of them. Literally, we want to put them on a pedestal and worship them. So in this crisis, we want to do the same thing. And we're working doubly hard to get them back to work, but we're only doing that with the most stringent safety requirements. We actually, the industry, have set up working groups already for our peers in the industry to help them learn from what we're doing. And we want to be sure when everybody comes back to work, just like a pilot's got his or her checklist, we're going to do everything with that level of perfection. So dignity is a big part of it, because you've got to take care of them in terms of their mental health as well as their physical health. And that mental health is a big part, and that's where dignity comes in. Giving them real things to do, taking great care of them.
Boy, I love it. Thank you. That's real important to me. So I really appreciate that. Thank you. Guys, I'm sorry. We are up against the clock. I can't believe, where has this time gone? But Vincent, can you kind of put a bow? Think about everything you guys have been doing, you know, in this crisis. And think about, you know, part of your model, as you guys know, is distribution, right? Who is 90% of the people on here. Vincent, any thoughts from your perspective in terms of key lessons, key areas of focus that as a traditional distributor is thinking about shifting to tomorrow, coming out of this stronger than they went into it? What are the top one, two, or three things you'd recommend to us?
Yeah, so I think, like, to me, like the I'm going to just give you one. It's going to be the age of DIY, and people will do much more themselves, and they will want parts delivered at home and, like, get help remotely to try to, you know, do it. And I think we're seeing people ask that from us. We're seeing when people contact us with remote assist and they miss a part, they're like, okay, great. Like, I'm going to order it. I'm going to go to Home Depot, and then I'm going to call you back, and I want to do it myself. And I think, riding that wave and supporting this DIY movement, which is going to happen as people are going to want to avoid, a direct contact as much as they can, is, I think, something fascinating for distributors to think about.
So can I ask you a silly question there? I am the least technical guy in the room. All right, Michael, when you said the difference between that type of screwdriver or whatever, that's me. Okay. But as you're talking, I'm also thinking about this movement, how everybody needs to want to learn now and wants to learn more things. And Vincent, you were just encouraging me to say, hell, if somebody could walk me through a process of fixing X, talk about dignity, right? Talk about me growing as a person. Is that part of his model, or is it just to get it fixed?
Yeah, the reward, the immediacy of the solution, which, you know, is becoming standard, right? Like, you don't have to wait 2 days to have your thing fixed or someone come to your home, but you can take care of it yourself. All of that is enabled by this model. And I think it's, we've generated a million content article over the past 2 weeks, powered by machine learning. We're going to have 100 million by the end of the year.
Wow.
All of
wow.
that leading to content so people can learn on their own and self-serve, get the most help
cool.
if they need, and worst case, get someone in their home. But really, you know, like, one and two should be what, you know, like, this is where people are going to start. And if we can all together in the industry enable people to do it on their own, to feel great doing it, to do it immediately by giving them the right information, the right parts at the right time and letting them take control of the experience, I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Super cool. Thank you.
And if I can add one thing to that, Dirk, it's not that the consumers have to do it all themselves.
Right.
There's some who want to do it. There'll be a majority who will still rely on a contractor. The key thing I would say to a distributor is do what Andy Grove and Gordon Moore did for themselves in the 80s. Fire yourselves. and say, you know, and you've written a book saying distribution as you know it is dead.
Yep.
It is. So how do you connect all the dots? How do you bring that circle together so the consumer's at the center, the contractor is a big part of it, the distributor is a big part of it, the OEM is a big part of it. And that's what we're working to do. And we think as we do that, it fundamentally changes this industry for the betterment of everybody. Because the consumer doesn't care where the part comes from. They don't really care who fixes it, whether they do it, a contractor fixes it. What they care about is, I have a problem. I want to have a relentless solution focus. Problem, solution. And that's what HomeX is trying to build.
I love it. Guys, two things real quick, okay? Let me see here. Somebody from Atlantic Electric asked, how much pushback from your existing teams to buy into the new culture? I'm going to guess, because we're running up on the clock, I'm going to guess that because of the process that you did it, because of the process that you were calm, you laid out the new vision for the next period of time, and then you said, guys, you go away for 2 days and tell us how we're going to do it. It really generated that buy-in. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Like this bottom-up approach was really important. Some people like thought we were overreacting, and I'm sure all of you in all your companies had people say, oh yeah, it's not going to be that bad. You know, like that evolved, that didn't really matter. Like the key for me was to not tell them what exactly we're going to do, was to start with like, these are the problems we need to solve together. You guys go figure out a plan, which became theirs, which brought everyone together.
Dynamite.
Thanks for listening. Continue your shift to tomorrow by visiting us at unleashwd.com to access free resources, including additional podcasts, white papers, webinars, and our weekly newsletter, Unleash Your Week. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd also appreciate you reviewing our show with a 5-star review in the Apple Podcast app. Until next time, keep your eyes on the horizon, keep innovating, and shift to tomorrow.